can't sleep, trapped in my own mind. Anxiety. Drowning in the darkness, just can't see the light.
Depression.
Doubtful, insecure, can I really do this?
Imposter syndrome.
I'm alone, unloved, just feel invisible.
That's loneliness.
We're not therapists, but we need one.
Hello, and welcome to We're Not Therapists,
But We Need One.
The podcast where we have honest and vulnerable conversations about our mental health with one another.
I'm Jay.
And I'm Anthony, and neither of us are therapists.
But we're trying to help ourselves and each other by sharing our experiences and feelings.
In this show, we'll deep dive into topics like anxiety, depression,
self-esteem, trauma, and more.
We'll talk about how they affect us,
how we cope,
and what we've learned along the way.
We're not doing this to bash or blame anyone,
especially our families, who may have contributed to our mental health challenges.
We're doing this to heal and grow,
and hopefully inspire others who can relate and open your mind to your own healing.
We also want to warn you that this show may contain some sensitive and triggering content.
We'll be talking about personal and painful things that happen to us and how they still affect us to this day.
If you're not comfortable with that, or if you feel like you need professional help,
this show may not be for you. But
if you're ready to join us on this journey of self-discovery and self-improvement, we're glad to have you.
We're not experts, but we're honest and we're not alone.
Now, let's start the timer. Anthony, how do you feel today?
I'm fine. I'm not great. I'm not bad. Just fine.
Just fine.
Yeah, I just came from real therapy.
Two sessions in one day. Look at you.
I know. Well, yeah, my real therapist is harder on me than you are, though. So,
well, I can change that if you want.
No, please don't. I can't accept any more harsh truths about myself today. No, I've been like feeling in this malaise and this funk over the past like few days, mostly over the past several weeks, and I think I'm burnt out, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm there. I'm burnt out. Tis what it is.
I get it.
I don't think you ever started the timer, but there we are.
I did on my side.
Oh well, it's not by my side. That's fine. You guys can ignore that. That's a little bit shop talk right there. Yeah, I don't know. I'm feeling burnt out. Like, work's not hard. Nothing's really hard. I just burnt out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I totally get it.
That's how I'm feeling right now.
That's amazing.
Is it? Not doesn't feel amazing. Feels terrible. It was like shit.
Ugh. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I feel like we do a lot. Like generally we do a lot. And I also don't relax when I'm relaxing because I always get on myself internally that I could be doing more. So my downtime isn't even really downtime. Because in my head, I feel like I should be doing more, but that's not rational. Because I could do more, but then I'm just going to burn myself out even faster. But the point is that in addition to the things that I actually do, I'm not really taking downtime to be not thinking about things.
Right.
So I'm burning myself out mentally without having to actually do all of the physical work to burn myself out. It's fun. It's what my therapist referred to as an immature thought process. And she's right, obviously, because it's not based in rationality. It's based in feelings. And that is, I've been living in feelings land for the past several weeks, and I can't get myself to like get out of it. And so I'm trying slowly but surely to dig myself out in a way to Or I guess that's kind of the thing, is that I got to stop trying so hard, and I just need to stop for a minute and let myself be and accept things as they are and just like meet myself where I'm at presently, and be okay with that. Because, you know, we talked briefly about radical acceptance last week, and I just, radical acceptance is a completely rational thought process, and I can't get there living in my feelings. And so I've just got to do a better job of breathing through my feelings and just accepting things as they are for a bit, because I'm just burning myself out, man.
It must be that time of year. I'm fine. I'm in a weird rut of myself. Not sure what it is yet. But I feel burnout in a lot of ways, too. It's kind of just a... nothing's changed for a long time. And, like, I'm like, okay, you gotta provoke that change. And it's, like, difficult to do in adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, it's wild.
Yeah, I could see that. But I mean, you've got a lot of things that are actually changing in your life.
I feel like they're going so slow and I'm very impatient.
Is that not the fucking truth? Because I find myself improving in certain ways, but then like getting stuck like this sometimes where it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. It's, I don't know. It's just, how to explain it? I feel like something big is coming, and it's kind of felt like that for a bit, but I don't know what it is. And it's driving me bonkers that it's just this, something's coming. What is it?
Yeah, I see, and I don't have that thought process. It's not like a... usually I do, and it's anxiety, and it's just something's about to happen, and I don't know what it is, but it's going to be bad. Which I guess I do still get that some, but it's... I don't know, just... God. I don't know, just struggling right now. And it's frustrating, and... I shouldn't use the word just struggling, because that diminishes the actuality of it. So I am struggling right now.
I'm struggling in a sense that, so basically a week ago today, I have officially started a low dose of Wellbutrin, or it's bupropion or whatever is the...
bupropion.
Yeah,
I only know because I take 300 milligrams of it a day.
Oh, I only take 150.
Yeah, well, just wait.
Yeah, I know. It's going to go up. I'm sure it will. The interesting part about it is I'm not having the side effects like I was having on my previous ADHD med, and I'm so thankful for that. One of the side effects, though, on this one could be agitation. And I sense it, but not in a sense that everyone and everything makes me mad. But it's more of just like, I'm not focusing so much on the outside world trying to communicate with me and all. Because now I'm just, it's kind of like annoying trying to keep up with all of that.
Yes.
And I can't decide if it's an agitation side effect or if it's my brain isn't needing the dopamine from the thought of people wanting to talk to me because of my issue with always wanting to people please, always wanting people to feel happy with me. And I've just trained myself to always be very responsive to texts for the most part. I mean, I'm not always. Sometimes I have my off times. But I really think that maybe it's knocking out that dopamine rush I was feeling anytime I'd be like, oh, somebody thought of me. Like, finally, somebody thought of me. But I will say my agitation has shown up a little bit more in my driving.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to consciously acknowledge that and be like, okay, control.
I have to do that as well, especially with driving. It's funny you say that because I was talking to my therapist about it today. And I was just like, yeah, I get so mad. I get this road rage and it's the least under my control of anything that I do in a day.
That I get so annoyed at.
I get so annoyed about it and there's just nothing I can do except be mad. And that doesn't help me because it just makes me even more mad about everything else. And that just stacks on top of everything. So I've been trying to consciously be better about not getting as much road rage and really relaxing when I drive as much as I can because, yeah, otherwise it just makes me so irritated and then that irritation bleeds into everything else.
Since my partner has had to relocate down to Houston, I have been going down and visiting there a little bit. And oh my God, I can get angry on the roads. But what I've discovered is helping me there for the most part is I've went back to my Libby app and made sure I renewed my library card. And I'm kind of turning into an audiobook guy again, which I forgot how much I missed.
Ooh, I love audiobooks. If you need recommendations, ask me. I've got tons of them.
I've kind of been bouncing around a couple thrillers, but also I'm doing one self-help. Well, ow! Sorry, my cat just bit me. I'm also doing one self-help book that my therapist recommended. And it's actually really interesting.
What's the book?
It's called Secure Love. It's really good. It's, I'm only like 20%, 25% of the way in, and I feel like I've just listened to this novel of everything, and I'm like, wow, okay, so there's a lot in this book. But as of now, it's like talking about all the different type of attachment styles that you've gained from how you're raised, and how the disorganized attachment style is broken up into more categories, and I was like, oh, this is interesting. It's like different levels of disorganized attachments. And let me tell you, all of the people that grew up to be avoidants, where they don't let emotions and thoughts run their head, I'm so jealous of you. I would love that, where I wasn't having this constant fear of, well, it's not a constant fear. I'm being dramatic when I say that, but you have this constant thing going through your head, especially in relationships where you're oversensitive to everyone. Well, I am, and stuff like that. And I'm like, I really wish that I had that avoidance so I didn't really, nobody else's emotions impact me. I would love that.
That would be really, really nice.
And everyone's like, you just don't need to do that. And I was like, I don't know how to explain to you that that's just not how you're wired. I'm wired. And I have to work so hard not to do that.
It's funny because I now get called out by my therapist about things like that that I do that are 100% due to childhood trauma. And so I was talking today about not wanting to burden people with my problems, even though like I do text people about them, but I still, there are some things I just don't vocalize because I don't want people to feel annoyed with me. I don't want people to feel like I'm a burden. And I was telling her this and she was like, yeah, but that's just your mom, because that's how you see your mom, is that's what she does. And I was like, fuck, fuck, fuck. She's right. God damn. But it's because I hear my mom complain to get this attention, and I'm afraid of doing that myself.
Yeah.
So it's this learned, like, I think it, I feel it, but I don't say anything about it, because if I do, then I become a burden for somebody else. And if I become a burden for somebody else, then I become my mom. And that's the thing I don't want to do. So yeah, and she called me out on it today, and I was like, fuck. God damn. She got me a couple of times today. We've been doing therapy together for about 5 years, so she's got the clout at this point to be mean to me.
Oh, my poor therapist. It was our first session last week, and it was the first session 2 weeks ago as this episode drops, and I was just like, I don't even remember. It was just word vomit. She was like, so tell me about this. And I'd be like, and she'd ask a question. I'd be like, well, about this. And then like an hour was up and I was like, so yeah, that's how we start. And now we're going to have to go in depth about all of that stuff. And then there's still so much I didn't tell you. And it was so funny when I don't remember what nagging I was talking about in my head. She goes, do you feel like that's your dad? And I was like, oh, no. I was like, that poor man has literally no space in my brain. Like, does not even faze me. And I'm like, that's his own fault. I wrote him off, not in a mean sense, but in a sense that he doesn't have a connection because he didn't have a good life growing up and he can't even find himself. So I'm not going to put any effort into somebody that puts no effort out and can't even put effort into themselves. I'm like, that's okay. I mean, maybe there is something I'll cry about later on that, but as of now, that's the easiest one to admit. Like, I have no problems with that.
Yeah, I feel that because I'm the same way with my dad. I love him, and I'm sure like there are parts of just our relationship that do make me a little sad because I wish they were better. But like, just like the other day, he texted me about something, and I don't remember what it was. And he doesn't text me or call me. He rarely, if ever, calls me. He might text me from time to time, like every few months, he'll text me. And it was a Sunday, and I don't remember what it was about initially, but then he started ragging on the new Beyonce album because it had just come out. And I was like, oh, this is a Fox News thing. So I was just like, okay, well, I like Beyonce. And he was like, well, you know, and I was like, well, okay, I don't know why you let other people tell you what you should and shouldn't like when you're such a free thinker, but do your thing, man.
Yeah, go be you.
Yeah, but it's little things like that where he's been brainwashed by Fox News and these right-wing pundits, and he just, I don't want to talk. I don't want to have those conversations. It's not, if you can't just ask me about my life, or we can't have a conversation about, like, anything that you know about me because you don't know anything really about me, what's the point, man?
Yeah. I am thankful that my dad, I think... By my assumption, based off his behaviors, I think he's more liberal. But that's purely just an assumption. I don't know. But I feel really bad because on Father's Day, I was just like, oh, yeah, happy Father's Day. Text. And it was basically just this conversation that followed afterwards that was like asking what I was doing and how I was and all that jazz. And my brain was like, I don't really, why are we doing this? Like, I feel like a jackass that's how I feel. But then I'm also just like, no, I don't feel like a jackass because I'm not the parent that designed this relationship.
Well, that's the whole thing is I feel like there's so often that our parents get unlimited forgiveness no matter what their bad behavior is. You remember when we did the Boomer episode of Beers and Sundries?
I love that episode. We should do another one.
We really should. But I remember distinctly one of the YouTube comments was, no, it wasn't YouTube, it was on Facebook. You had made a post, and I don't usually get on and like interact that often because I'm such an introvert and I don't like social media. And it makes me stressed and I don't like it. But somebody, one of our listeners, had commented that he wanted to like come through the screen and slap us because we were being so mean to them. And he made a mention of it just being a different time. And I really can't remember who it is. So if you're listening to this now, feel free to comment on this too. But I was just like, no, It doesn't matter if they were born at a different time. It doesn't matter about any of that. I was born before fucking smartphones existed, but I still use the goddamn thing. Like, I've adapted because I have to, because times change. And giving people like that unlimited forgiveness is not healthy for you. It's not good for you to not draw a boundary at some point.
Yeah.
So
forgiving you for just never ever growing past 1975.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I'm not doing that, man. Like, you can grow up. You can learn. You can evolve instead of just listening to racists so you feel okay with your racism, so you don't have to examine your racism to do something about your racism.
And, like, my family, very anti-psychology in any sense. So now that psychology is a much more known aspect and much more respected aspect in life, they're still just like, nope, that is not something that I need to associate with, because only crazy people need that. And I'm just like, yeah, you need that.
That's, yeah, my mom used to call all of her mental health medications her crazy pills, and she would never, it's so funny to see somebody who's literally on mental health medications talk about them like there's something to be ashamed of. And I do realize now in retrospect that it wasn't so much being ashamed of it as like borderline personality disorder. This is a good way for me to get attention. Well, I'm just crazy. Oh my gosh. I have to be on all these medications. These are my crazy pills. I had to go to the crazy house. And yeah, I mean, still that sort of mentality pervades. And I used to get so upset with my dad because I was like, why can't he as a kid, I would be like, why can't he understand that she's not well? He should be more supportive. And now as an adult, I'm like, okay, I kind of get it, because like, this isn't really necessarily what she's saying it is. It's really more borderline personality disorder, because when you start to directly address the things that she's talking about instead of just coddling her about them, everything becomes like, oh, okay, never mind. I didn't mean to bring that up. It's fine. Everything's fine. I'm not emotional about that anymore. Let's move on to something else. All of a sudden the subject needs to change, because you're like, oh, well, let me address this, let me help you with the problem. And it's not help that we want. It's the please hear the woe is me and feel bad for me.
Yeah, it is funny thinking back to how my real dad treated my mom, and how back then, like, I just hated everything he did about how he treated her, because she was the greatest person in the world. And now, as a grown-ass adult, looking back, I'm like, all right, I'm not changing the fact in my mind that my dad did not treat her well.
Yeah.
But they both created some of these problems with each other. What they just, their behaviors, their reactions, their communication style, they're both problematic. And I'm just like, I don't feel quite as sorry for you, but I also need you to know that I do understand and still agree with you that he wasn't good for you. But to play only victim here,
yeah, nah. I think that's also against me, is we don't do this anymore, because every time she brings it up, I just shrug and I'm like, okay, we've talked about this a million times. But she'll bring up, like, divorcing him, and I'm just like, okay, so fucking do it.
Yeah.
What do you want me to tell you that I haven't told you a million times? Oh, you're terrible again for one another, and you should divorce him.
Yeah.
Because you're both horribly unhappy 90% of the time in this relationship. And the only time he gets super, oh, I really love you and I really need you around, is when you're not there to do the fucking housework and cook his meals for him. Because he's incapable of functioning like an adult human being, because his mom called him when he was growing up. Because she was a stay-at-home mom, because they could do that back in the day. And so he always had a dedicated house chores person. And, like, I don't know how he survives when she's not there. I assume it's a lot of fast food and takeout.
I'm going to be honest. With that logic, I think I'm in love with Royal Caribbean.
Oh, well, I mean, that's true. we should really start dating cruise lines, because they have all thing everything's included, except I still had to do my own laundry on our cruise, so that is upsetting.
Oh, yeah, but I guess I can sacrifice a little bit for unlimited food and constant house cleaning.
Yeah, but I still have to do laundry, Jay.
Well, okay, here. This is where I'll talk about marriage and the aspect of I think we have to make sure we understand what's the word I'm trying to think of? Jesus. Not compatibility. Oh my God, why can I not think of the word? My brain's so tired today.
It's
Anyways,
okay.
where
Mine's.
we both have to
Yeah.
like compromise. Damn it. I don't know why that word was so hard to come to my brain. I have to compromise just a
Perfect.
bit, and I will do my laundry for them to take care of me in every other aspect.
That's fair. This is not a compromise situation, though. This is more of a please be up here and I'll tell you that I love you, but you have to do the laundry and cook for me and clean the house and make sure that you rub my feet when I get home from work, which gross.
Yeah, but look what setup he's set him up well with. All he has to do is blurt out a couple words and make sure the house gets paid.
And even then, I don't think he actually does the bill paying. I think she does that. He just goes to work, so the money goes in the account.
Okay, fine. I'll say that. He supplies the funds in the bank account.
And at the end of the, it's funny because I had to tell him one time because we were having a bit of a spat. Well, you know what? It was a full on. It wasn't a spat because that would imply that there was a lot of a back and forth, and there really wasn't. He was shitty to my husband, and so I was like, "Hey, that's not okay." And then whenever he doubled down and was like, I was like, "Hey, this is really embarrassing and it makes me ashamed of you." He said something to the effect of like, "Oh, you're ashamed of the person who put a roof over your head and blah 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 and paid for all these things." And I was like, "Well, money isn't the currency of love, so once you figure that out, we can talk again." And then we didn't talk for over a year.
I'm ashamed of the person who had to, by law, take care of me because they chose to have me, and the government has laws in place that require you to take care of me.
Thank
I'm
you.
supposed to be ashamed of
Thank
you
you.
because you decided not to break the law for child neglect.
I love whenever you bring that up, and then like, I feel like my mom at one point was like, "Well, what happens if we didn't have you? You know, then you wouldn't be here." And I'm like, "Oh, great, fantastic! I wouldn't have to be here for all this. Wonderful, thank you. Check me out.
Oh, yeah.
Put me back on the shelf. Let me go back up there. Thank you."
Put me back. I don't, yeah, I've lived this life long enough to understand that it's not what I thought it was when I was a kid, where I thought all this thing's gonna be amazing.
I know. Oh my God, I know. But yeah, that was, yeah. So it's been a weird week for over the last week. And yeah, so.
Yeah. I can relate. I feel like I keep having these shifts over the past 3 weeks in my, I don't know, in my thought process, and I've been okay with them. I'm just trying to understand them, and I don't know, I'm trying to see this big change that I just feel is coming somehow. And I can't tell if it's like something that I don't know, subconsciously predicting, or if I'm manifesting it because I want change. I don't know, but something feels there.
Yeah, I have been not feeling that. I've been trying to decrease my sort of scope of existence in a way where I worry about so much that I don't want to, that is just not pertinent to me. It's not relevant in a way that I can do anything about it. But I spend so much time and energy thinking about these things that I want to like rein that in super hard. So I'm not
Yeah.
feeling like there's anything big on the horizon so much as I just want things to be smaller so I can enjoy the things that I used to enjoy and I can do the things that I want to do without thinking about 100 other things.
I'm even starting to think that all these things that I'm starting to give up, like this constant need to feel like I have to respond to messages from people, and like I have people that send me meme after meme after meme after meme, and I just, some of the people I've literally just muted the notifications from their chain because I'm just like, I don't want to feel tied down to this. And I'm starting to wonder if I'm purging unnecessary stresses.
I am doing
for what
same
I feel is coming.
Because I just, there's so much. There's so much communication. It's so constant. I said it before and I'll say it again. I hate my phone in a way. I resent my phone. Let's say I resent it. I don't hate it, but I do resent it a lot of times because I feel like it gives people access to me. And I don't like that.
Well, and I also think it's this thought that for a long time I thought in order to be friends, you had to show that you wanted to be by constant communication.
Yep.
And now I'm just like, oh, that's not
it. It's not true. It's not true. It's the, if like my constant communication is not how I show affection. It's just not.
Yeah. I mean, look at our friendship. We went nearly 7 years, I think, without hardly having any connection. And then we started talking again and it. Whatever.
And if nothing else, that really endeared me more to you that we could do that.
Yeah, and that made me go, oh, yeah.
That's a He's real a good friendship. Friend. Yeah, that's what it felt like, because it felt like there was never any sort of struggle with it.
Yeah. And it's hard to find friends like that.
True that.
And we're out of time.
Thank you for joining us today on our show. As you can see, therapy is not always easy, but it can be very rewarding and healing.
If you want to follow our journey and see how we progress, tune in next episode for the continuation of We're Not Therapists, But We Need One.
Join us on our socials, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, and Instagram, and email us at nopenottherapists@gmail.com.
That's nopenottherapists@gmail.com.
We would love to hear your thoughts on our journey or any questions you have that we can help answer. Until then,
stay safe.
Mental health is a serious and important issue that affects millions of people around the world.
If you or someone you know is struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, or have any other mental health conditions, you're not alone and there is help available.
You don't have to suffer in silence or feel ashamed of your feelings.
There are many resources and support networks that can help you cope and heal.
Here are just a few.
The Crisis Text Line, which is a 24/7 service that connects you to trained crisis counselors who can help you with any type of emotional crisis. You can text HOME to 741-741 in the US or Canada, or 85258 in the UK, or 50808 in Ireland. You can also visit crisistextline.org for more information.
The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which is a 24/7 service that provides free and confidential support for people in distress, as well as prevention and crisis resources. You can call them at 1-800-273-8255 or chat online at suicidepreventionlifeline.org.
The Headspace app, which is a meditation and mindfulness app that can help you reduce stress, improve your mood, and enhance your well-being. The app offers guided meditations, breathing exercises, sleep sounds, and other tools that can help you relax and cope with your emotions. You can download the app for free and try it for 10 days or subscribe for unlimited access to all features. You can find the app on the App Store or Google Play or visit headspace.com for more information.
These are just some of the resources that we have found helpful, but there are many more out there that can suit your needs or preferences. The most important thing is to reach out for help when you need it and to know that you are not alone. Mental health is not a weakness, but a strength, and taking care of it is one of the best things you can do for yourself and your loved ones. Until next time.